Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Well, with the Lord's help, we will conclude this message on touching the heart of God. And we were in the book of 1 Samuel, the very first chapter. And in verse 17, Eli answered. He was speaking out to Hannah, and he said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee that petition thou had asked of him," which of course was for a son, and she vowed to loan him to the Lord all the days of his life. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. We see, obviously, that she believed she would receive her petition. She went her way, she did eat, broke her fast, and her countenance was sad no more. Beloved, listen, God will be faithful to His promises to everyone who will ask with a sincere heart. You see, God looks on the heart. It doesn't make any difference what kind of show you put on or what other people think of you or what the appearances are. God judges you by the very thoughts and intents of your heart. And you may be ridiculed. You may be sneered at, you may be avoided and ridiculed and go through the things that Hannah did. You may be persecuted, but if you are sold out to God, 100% beloved, He will grant you the desires of your heart. Let's look at that familiar passage in Scripture, Jesus speaking in Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Listen to His word. In verse 7, we find that Elkanah went up to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And that word Shiloh means rest. This sacred city was situated in Ephraim. It became the sanctuary of Israel in the time of Joshua, who pitched the tent of the tabernacle there. Shiloh was the permanent seat of the ark and the tabernacle. It was the religious center of Israel during the entire period of the judges. On rare occasions, the tent and part or all of the furniture was temporarily moved to different places as Mizpah or Bethel, but its regular home was Shiloh, meaning rest. And those who continued to serve the Lord made an annual trip to the place of worship in Shiloh to sacrifice and to worship the Lord Jehovah. And we find Eli, the high priest, was a weak person who was more concerned with his sons than he was with the office that they held. There are two men, two of the priests, who are specifically mentioned by name, Hophni and Phinehas. And one of these brothers would probably have succeeded Eli as high priest. But they figured in one of the greatest historical disasters of the people of Israel. These two men demonstrate the terrible state of corruption and decadence into which the priesthood had fallen at this time. And I might just share a few passages out of the second chapter of 1 Samuel, because it sounds like I'm making a detour, but I want you to realize that when you are of pure heart and when you really desire to be fruitful for the Lord, as you seek Him and as you desire that what God will place into your hands as your life, the things that just as Hannah was crying out to God, she had no idea of what her prayer and the consequences of her prayer was going to mean for Israel. Having said that, now let's look at what the real religious situation was at that time when she came to Shiloh to pray that prayer to the Lord. Verse 12 says, "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Can you imagine that? They were priests. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hands. He stuck it into the pan and brought up the priest whatever the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And then in verse 16, because they were going against the protocol of the Lord of how offerings should be offered, and if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, he would answer, nay, no, but thou shalt give it to me now, if not, I'll take it by force. And it goes on in verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. The men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And now in verse 22, it says Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all of Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Talk about a weak man. He says, nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. And so he verbally rebukes them, but he doesn't really stop them. He doesn't restrain them. Notwithstanding, they hearken not to the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them. And it says in verse 27, a man of God, an unnamed prophet, came to Eli, said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer mine upon mine altar, to burn incense? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest, this is his sin, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house. There shall not be an old man in thine house. Thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall be not an old man in thine house forever. And in verse 34, this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And this is the part that's really beautiful, because as we've been talking about Hannah, she wanted to be fruitful for the Lord. And not only did, as in the natural, I mean, we all have natural desires. Isn't that true? We have things that we desire that would bless us, make our lives happier, more fruitful. Surely the shame of her barrenness would be taken away. But that wasn't all that was operating. She wanted to bless the Lord. And she did that with the greatest of all sacrifices. If she would bear a child, as much as her mother's heart wanted to keep that child, she was willing to sacrifice him to the Lord, that he could be lent unto the Lord. That was the phraseology, all the days of his life. But listen now to what this man of God, this prophet says, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in mine mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And so this child Samuel, it said, ministered unto the Lord. It says there was no open vision, and it was through Samuel. I'm not going to take the time, but I think you recall the story that word of God was fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, and the ark of God was taken, and the wife of, I think it was at Phinehas, she bore a child, she named him Ichabod, which means the glory has departed from Israel. But it was Hannah's obedience, it was Hannah's seeking the Lord that changed a nation. And beloved, I want you to get that vision, the things you're asking of God to be fruitful, what you do, how the consequences of your prayer will have eternal ramifications, just as it did for Hannah. She had no idea what God was was going to do through the son that she bore. But beloved, we can be encouraged. We can take heart. Just as every year Elkanah visited the sanctuary, he also publicly gave Hannah a double gift to show his love for her. Peninnah went every year to offer her thank offering, but not to love the Lord or worship him, but in order to taunt Hannah because she had no children. And there are those today in churchianity who can point with great self-pride to their great churches, the marvelous things they're doing, and the things they've sacrificed, the great programs they have. But God is looking not for a Peninnah. He's looking for those who have the heart of Hannah, those who are humble, who are seeking the glory of the Lord, who are desiring to be fruitful for him, to see God be glorified. And as she was in bitterness of soul, and this has gone on for a long time, but we see God answered Hannah's prayer. He gave her a son. She asked for a son because she believed. She received the thing she desired in her heart. God didn't give her a daughter. He gave her a son. And beloved, the same God who was able to make Hannah fruitful and change the course of a nation, so God is going to be faithful to answer the sincere, earnest cry of your heart as you call out to him. Praise God. Lord, there are many who have Hannah's heart right now. Lord, we're crying out to you to be fruitful, to bring glory to your name, that your work, your kingdom will come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's a beautiful parallel. The Lord has just really touched my heart as we can see how just one person can change the course of a nation. And beloved, we don't know what our lives, the repercussions of our lives, the consequences of our fruitful, surrendered life to God, but he knows. And one day we'll stand before him and be able to rejoice. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you so much for joining me. And just let's meditate on what God has shown us through this beautiful example of Hannah. And let's believe God to bear forth much fruit for his glory. Amen and amen. We'll see what God has for us tomorrow. Thank you for your prayerful support. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.